Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the program. It's great to be with you every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We do stream live at those times at richarddugan.com. We also put the podcast up at the radio show's page at richarddugan.com. And we are available both on SoundCloud and iTunes. Yes, indeed. So please check us out. Also linking to our guests' website so that you can gather more information and continue your study, your research, your investigation into those things that will help to uplift and inspire and inform and educate you and help you if you are in the process of raising your own consciousness, as we are all trying to do. I have to say that on the way into the studio today for this program, my consciousness wasn't real high, and I think it kind of ties into today's program. Today's program is going to be dealing with truth as well as triumph. I didn't have quite the triumphant experience that I should have had. Yet, I may have been in the right, but my reaction wasn't that great. Sitting at the traffic light, waiting for the light to turn green. Light turns green, wait the 2 seconds, begin to head out, and all of the sudden in front of me, a skateboarder flies through the intersection. I lay on my horn, and he looks at me and gives me the middle finger salute. Should have left it at that, but I returned the salute. Not good. Doesn't help. And he stopped on the corner and just looked at me as if thinking I was going to stop the car and get out and confront him. I just drove on. Maybe that was the better thing to do. I didn't feel compelled. But what it does is it says that we are still in a world in which, as I often say, people still do stupid things, but the thing is to not do something stupid in return. And so I shared this with a friend of mine who absolved me of the sin and said, go sin no more. And we kind of put a humorous spin on it. But it's kind of what happens in our lives. We're going to be talking today about Truth to Triumph, a spiritual guide to finding your truth. And my guest is Lily Sanders. I hope that you didn't run into any skateboarders on the road to this interview today.
Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't, Richard. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry you had that experience. Interesting. I love that we're talking today because maybe it can bring you a little bit more connected and grounded. It's really quite simple. I talk about truth to triumph. In my book, I talk about love throughout the entire book. And the love is really the essence of all consciousness. So at that time, at that moment in time that you were provoked, you kind of lost love in your heart at that moment.
I did.
And it's really, really okay.
I did. And, I suppose that actually one thing went through my mind when I noticed that he stopped on the corner. Why he stopped, I don't know per se, the thought went through my mind of a conversation, a very brief one that he and I might have had, where he would have challenged me, and I'm going, wait a minute, you have the right to make that symbol, and I don't? You know? Not that that helps any, mind you. I acknowledge that. But it's interesting the way things happen in our lives. There's a synchronicity, I'm sure, in that. Who knows? I may euphemistically run into him somewhere down the road, because I'm sure he lives in the neighborhood. I may come across him and he may or may not have words, and I'll just say, hey, look, I was in the wrong for the gesture, and you were in the wrong for running a red light. So we're even. And let's move on.
Well, here's the thing. So now we're in discussion about something that happened this morning,
yeah,
hours ago.
Yeah.
And that the things I speak about and I teach about is letting go of the story and examining your inner dialogue. That inner dialogue can be a blessing or a curse. So, mm-hmm, the question is, what is the commentary that is going on in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now you're still kind of in suffering mode about it. Just let it go.
Yeah.
It's again, you did the best you could. You did not, run into him. You know, it was not an accident, thank goodness. And you did not run into him, on purpose.
Right.
And just let it go, because it will bring you no peace. Yeah. All of that mental dialogue will just keep you suffering. So no matter what the life situation that we're going through, big or small, acceptance of what is actually going on in this moment now, which is you and I speaking,
mm-hmm.
You're breathing, you're healthy, you're okay. Not what's going on in your thinking mind, which right now you're thinking about that incident.
And
that acceptance of right now, that will bring you a sense of peace right now that will allow clarity of the mind and stillness of the heart. Be still and know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's no greater resolve than peace.
Yeah. And yet, would you give the exact same advice to someone who had experienced an horrific tragedy in their lives or had been abused for, I don't know, weeks, months, years, at the hands of someone or someone's, plural, being bullied in school, being harassed on the job, et cetera. We could go through the list of all of these different things. Or for that matter, maybe it wasn't that kind of a hardship, shall we say, but maybe they were in a single vehicle accident where they lost control of the vehicle, maybe on an icy road, wrapped the car around a tree, ended up taking off one of their legs, and the list goes on of all of the various things. And they're just sitting there going, oh my God, I should have never gotten out of bed this morning, or I should have never gotten in the car. I mean, again, that dialogue begins. Would you give the exact same advice to these kinds of people who have suffered these kinds of hardships?
Absolutely. I've had my own life experiences, which is really what kind of birthed me, right? Truth to Triumph. That's what started my quest to write that book. And also, I personally, I do have someone that was moonlighting, working in the middle of the night, and the graveyard shift, 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. So on his way back home, he was on a main highway, and he was going. He agreed to help someone during the morning. And what happened was he was very tired. And while he was driving, there was a car off to the side, pulled over in the shoulder with the car door open. And he went into it because he was tired and swayed off the road. And he killed the person that was behind that door.
Hmm.
That's completely traumatizing. This was many, many, many years ago. I'm going to say about 25 years ago. And if he was still holding that baggage, he would be suffering for the last quarter, of his life,
right.
25 years of his life. That's not where we want to be. That kind of goes into the category of, letting go of self-blame. We need to go to the root and pull it out. And for me, this meant facing my own pain in my life,
mm-hmm.
and transforming my own pain into peace as well. I was living behind a veil of silence as a battered wife for many, many years. And I talk about this in Truth to Triumph, and the book has many raw stories in it. But honestly, I tell some of my stories only to shed light on those people who are currently in a dark place. I mean, we wouldn't be human if we didn't find ourselves in a dark place at one point or another in our life. Right, Richard?
Isn't that true? Isn't it true mm-hmm. that's part of who and what we are, and that's why we need to acknowledge that it exists?
It's not part of what we are, and it's not who we are, and that's everything about what I teach.
Okay.
What I teach is that we are not life situations. We are life. We, no matter what's going on in our life situation, that is not our life. We are life. Who we are, our truth, is what's pure, what's absolute. And it is not our life situation. It's not, it has nothing to do with our life situation. What we need to do is disidentify with, if you will, not see yourself connected with a life situation and make that about you, rather know that you are independent of your life situations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we're not really, look, we are, honestly, we all know, at this point in 2018, we've read enough self-help books. We've read enough, spiritual, books. We've talked to enough spiritual leaders to know at this point in our lives in 2018 that really we are spiritual beings having this human experience. It's
right.
Not the other way around.
Right.
We're not, you know, we're housed in this shell, in this body, if you will, but it's not who we are.
Right.
And the problem is many of us are walking around unconsciously feeling that this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not our mother. We're not our father. We're not our career. We're not our bank account. We're not even our family name.
So what's the difference between life situations and the individual life taking responsibility for the actions that they take within their life, within our, you know, as we move through our lives? Can you help us? Because again, I think that I understand what you're saying. There's the difference between the life situations and the life that exists and lives and breathes within this body. There is a difference. But how do we separate that from the aspect of being responsible, taking responsibility? I take responsibility for what happened there. I even take responsibility. As a matter of fact, as you were sharing this situation about your situation as a battered wife, my wife and I drove out to Halama Beach here on the West Coast, west of Santa Barbara. And we were there having a nice lunch, and she wanted to buy a couple of sweatshirts for the two of us as sort of a mementos. It's not easy to get to. That's one of the reasons why. And they were both black, and they were both, one was extra large, and the other one was double X. And she wanted the double extra large just because. And so when we got up to the counter, I just jokingly said to the cashier, "Can you tell which one is for whom?" Now, he couldn't see the size tags. And my joke had to do with the fact that they were both black sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm.
And later that evening, she asked me why I had said that to him. And was she making a joke about her weight? And I said, absolutely not. No, it had to do with the fact that it just so happens that both of them were black. And it was just kind of an off-the-cuff joke. I would never, ever, I didn't do it with my first wife. And I certainly am not doing it with my second wife. I would never make fun of her in public, let alone in I don't even make jokes about her to her face in private. That's just
good
not,
man.
That's just not right. And so when I hear these kinds of, that kind of dialogue in public, husband to wife or wife to husband, I'm just going, really? Is that where the thing is? But anyway, let's talk about the aspect mm-hmm. of, again, the responsibility versus with this whole dynamic.
Okay. So first, our responsibility is toward loving ourselves. Self-love is where it begins and ultimately where it ends. We need to start beginning to build that, you know, relationship with ourself, and by beginning to see yourself at soul level. And that means letting go of that linear concept of thinking, and you're, you know, allowing, you know, this 3D dimensional or multidimensional concept as your new reality. Because when you come into this awareness that you are not, you know, made up of this physical, and see that you're so much more than this vehicle, our bodies that houses the soul, the potential is there to unlock anything and everything your heart desires. Because then you'll, you know, you'll have This, by the way, Richard, this is what I call harmonious matrimony, if you will, with yourself and your inner child. And this relationship we want to strive for, because this is our divine connection to oneness, to God. I don't care, you know, whatever your religion, doctrine, no religion, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, it really doesn't matter. I'm all about not labeling and not branding, not putting labels on things and names. But the bottom line is you've got to do that work. Whatever you want to call it, that's up to you. Divine, oneness, universe, God, that's up to you. But you need to make that connection. And once you're in that oneness, you become responsible, obviously, to love, honor, and respect yourself. Now you can bloom from there. Now that seed is there. Now you can start to express that with other people and in relationship, obviously. Now, all of that is going to happen when you stay conscious. So, you know, of course, living in the present moment. Again, it's 2018. We've all heard that a million times, living in the present moment. But what stops us many times from being in the present and acting out is fear. And fear creates pain. Fear, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of emotional energies that come, that stem out of fear, that, you know, go throughout the body and, you know, emotionally, mentally, and creates physical pain, believe it or not. And, I knew this in my own life, and I teach people this today. Back in the day, before I actually, you know, understood this, I knew, I was never really certain how to do that effectively, how to go to the root and pull out the pain. I knew that to dwell in the past and have regret was certainly not going to be productive, but I also knew that the corrosion there would just kill me if I didn't remove it. So the same is for all of us. I'm living proof that it can be done, and my techniques work, and I overcame everything. And that's where I am today. I was able to pull the pain from the roots and remove it. Almost instantly, an odd sense of peace will come over you when you're able to do that. And then you can return home. And all throughout my book, Truth to Triumph, when I speak of home, I speak of love. So that is the core essence of where we need to get back to. Always, always back to love. So when it comes to life situations, when we stumble upon a life situation, or a life situation, you know, kind of drops from from that helicopter.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Oh my goodness. And you could have been just feeling so conscious and so loving just moments before. All of a sudden you lose it. Why do you lose it? Why do you lose it? Well, if love is absolute and fear is an illusion, why do we lose ourselves in an illusion? A few times in my book, Truth to Triumph, I mentioned that we knew love all along, but we've forgotten it because of all the madness in this world around us, in our life situations, like that helicopter dropping, dropping something right on top of us at any given moment. So to the extent that we forget who we are, which is that piece of divine oneness in which we're all connected, we also forget love. And so we fall into this bottomless pit of pain, and that pain brings us choices. So when you're in that choice, we're going to either, it's only two choices. We either remember to love or act out unlovingly. That's the two choices. Love or act out unlovingly. When we act out unlovingly, it means that we're still frightened. Somewhere in the body, somewhere in the mind, somewhere in the thinking mind, somewhere emotionally, there's fear in there. When we choose love, the fear goes, because love cannot house fear. And love is stronger. Love is the strongest. I want all listeners to know, love is the strongest energy in existence. So we want to choose love and not fear. The goal for us is always to return home. So reframing the mind with our minds and, feeling fulfilled and happy. These are things that we need to practice every single day.
It is something that absolutely, and there are days when it becomes difficult to practice because of circumstances or situations that do happen. What are the hooks, the anchors that you use to stay in that space of love that I wasn't in earlier today? What are the anchors that you use?
One anchor.
Only one?
Yes.
That makes it easy, I hope.
It will make it easy, Richard. Letting go of fear.
That's interesting.
See, because you were afraid. You fear set in when that happened. You were startled. Your mind was already going into what if? Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Then fear made you angry. I can't believe he did that. You know?
Mm.
And so all of the emotions that come with fear, you know, there's so many of them, by the way. You've got shame, hurt, disappointment, abuse, you know.
But it's all the core is fear.
Right. So what happened was you believed fear. In Truth to Triumph, I talk about the little liar on your shoulder. Now, the little liar on your shoulder is fear. Fear is that little guy on your shoulder that tells you it's much, much safer to stay here where you are, stagnant and on the road, heading in the opposite direction of love, than to go over there. Now, we all have this little guy. Sometimes it's a big guy. I always say this. I say this in my book. It's like sometimes I was saying to I was working with someone. I was having a healing session with someone about a month or two ago, and I said, "You know that little guy?" And he said, "Oh no, my guy's big." I said, okay.
Sure.
And yeah, exactly. And so he says things like, "Don't do it. It's not safe," you know, or, "Oh my goodness, look what you've done. Look at, you're going to, what a mess you're in now." Or, I told you this would happen, you know, or, you know, "I can't believe it. I'm so disappointed. I'm so ashamed of you." Or, you know, "Now, what are you going to do?" That kind of thing. It's always a lie. When we're in a state of fear, we're blocking out love and all the possibilities of choosing love in our life. So, you know, you could see how debilitating it can be, because then we can lose our capability to love. This is a really, really dark path to walk, Richard. Conversely, if you're living in love, it's to blow that little liar or the big liar off of your shoulder every single time, because then it allows innate to take over. Like we said earlier, you asked me before, is it natural to feel fear? No. Innate, your natural intuition is love. And so we want innate to take over and intuition to steer the wheel. Okay. So this body is a vehicle that is driven by the heart. I say that in Truth to Triumph. Your intuition will never let you down. Your heart will never let you down. Now, I'm not suggesting to you or any of the listeners here today that fear doesn't come knocking, because it does. It never misses an opportunity. It's like when you go to church and, you know, doctrine will say, "Oh, there's God, there's the devil. Oh, the devil is right there, ready to, you know, ready to kick in."
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is fear. Fear never misses an opportunity, of course. But what I'm saying is, blow it off. Blow the little liar off your shoulder. Don't believe fear.
Yeah.
Don't let the little liar on your shoulder rob your joy. Because remember, fear is only an illusion, Richard.
Yeah.
You're afraid of something, or you're having this emotional downfall over something that hasn't even happened.
Yeah. You jogged a memory of a book I read 30 years ago or so, maybe more.
Okay.
Gerald Jampolsky, Love is Letting Go of Fear. That's the title of the book.
There you go. I love the book already.
Yeah.
These are not, it's interesting. What I teach and my spiritual path and what I teach, is these aren't new things that I've made up.
No.
These are, you know, spiritual teachings have been the same for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it takes, you know, people can resonate with certain people to finally get that message across.
That's it.
You know, until they have that aha moment. you know, that they say, oh my goodness, you know, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know, because first we really do, we need to experience an awakening, a spiritual rebirth, so to speak. You know, some people aren't comfortable with the word spiritual.
No.
If you, you know, if you're one of those people, or if the, your listeners, any listeners today, if you're one of those people, perhaps I can shed some light on that. Perhaps I can suggest not getting so caught up in the language. It's not about, if it's not the physical body, it's spiritual. It's that simple. Don't complicate it. Keep it simple. Your awakening or your enlightenment is an aha moment in life where the dimmer switch is turned way up. That dial is turned way up. Then there's that wonderful transition where you will mature in your spiritual growth. You know, suddenly all the things that seemed, you know, that you sensed, you know, all along and were drawn to, all of a sudden they begin to pop up. And, you know, all in really what I call appropriate timing, which is really divine timing. This is an example of divine timing in someone's life. You know, being aligned with yourself, with oneself and the universe or God or oneness, whatever listeners would like to see it as, that can help you understand that there are cycles in life and those cycles need to be honored. The person I was 20 years ago is not the person I am today. You know, so, you know, you got to stop blocking the creation of what you're asking for and instead really choose the creation of your own reality.
If people want to investigate further, and I will let you folks know we're not done yet, where would they go on the internet to find more information from you?
Okay, so they can go to my website is wonderful, which is my name, lilysanders.live, lilysanders.live, L-I-V-E. And also my book, Truth to Triumph, A Spiritual Guide to Finding Your Truth, that is international. You can get that at amazon.com, Zobo, anywhere internationally, but I would... You know, I've been telling people Amazon.com. You can also get it off of my website. So I have a link for Amazon.com off my website. And also there's a link from actually my publisher on my website as well. So that's a great way to start. Get to my website. There's a lot of information there. I actually am offering everyone, all of your listeners today on my website, there is, if you scroll down on my homepage, I'm offering a free ebook, which is Soul Bread, Daily Affirmations That Feeds the Soul. Real excited about this because it is, I've always wanted to write a book of affirmations. And so it's just kind of my gift for people. You know, I kind of put it together to give people positive and loving thoughts that will feed the soul. And it goes everywhere. There's 12 of them, which I consider the 12 most important, you know, from love, judgment, regret, doubt, discipline, trust, transition, surrender, grief, fear, forgiveness, and purpose. So, yeah, definitely head over to my website. I encourage viewers to pick up a copy of Truth to Triumph and also visit my website for the free offers that are on my site.
We definitely encourage you to do so. We're going to continue our conversation here. I'm just really enthralled by what we're talking about here today because I think it's vitally important for all of us. I tell folks all the time, Lily, that in addition to having the opportunity to get to know our guests, such as yourself, and what you have to share, it's also my therapy session. So,
yes, of three. Course, I understand. You know, it's interesting because years ago when I started as a coach or a life coach, then life and business coach, I have definitely pivoted, and my sessions they're really healing sessions. My sessions are healing sessions. Even if someone comes to me and you know it's about something with their business, it usually circles back to something that's missing in another area of their life.
Exactly.
I'm glad to help, Richard.
Yeah, and all it costs me is about an hour of time and making sure that I come up with some fairly relevant questions to both stimulate and elicit from the guests, but also to keep our listeners listening. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Would you do me a really big favor, folks? Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you for staying with us. I appreciate the fact that you did so. I'm still here, and so is my guest, Lily Sanders, and she is the author of Truth to Triumph. Now, you have probably already defined very well, because we like doing that. We like defining our terms here on the program. Mm-hmm. Usually we do it at the beginning, but, you know, wherever we do it is just fine. Tell me about your definition. As I say, you've probably given it in the first segment, but the definition of truth.
Okay, good. So truth is what is absolute about us, and what is absolute is pure. So it's independent of any experience, any happening, any event. And what I say is that it's that space that arises in the exhale of an experience. That's our truth.
Mm. And we'll go ahead and ask this about the word triumph, the definition as you see it.
Triumph. Well, the rising above, that's a good question. You know, it's success. It's rising above. And it doesn't mean just something that is tangible, but it's something that is in your body, mind, and soul. It's victory, but it also follows through in the world and form. So if you are happy today, you will be happy in your tomorrow. If you're happy inward, you will be happy in your work, in your career. It all is connected. So triumph is that. It is that victory, that success, not just outward, not just accomplished in the world, but accomplished within yourself.
Mm. I find it interesting, too, that part of this process also will open up for the seeker, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the way, it will open them up to finding their purpose for why they're here.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I say it all the time. I quote it on my website. I believe I also say it in Truth to Triumph. Your career is not your purpose. Rather, your career is guided by your purpose. And you find your purpose. First, you have to find that find the answer to who am I. You have to find your who before your what. You know, those are the two curious questions. Who am I? You know, and and why am I here? Or does God exist? Or, you know, what is this all about? Well, first you have to find your who. And, you know, that who is what's going to really open the door. That's your portal, so to speak, to your purpose. Because once you know your who, you're fine.
And this has nothing to do with Dr. Seuss, folks. This is not Horton Hears the Who.
Exactly. You know, that gives me another idea as an author, yeah. Actually.
Well, I'm gonna do a fairly nice segue here. Although, what's very interesting is that when you're in the fear, you feel very insignificant. You feel inferior. You feel all of those sub things, subhuman things about yourself. And yet, and for example, when you start, and I've kind of played around with this as far as an analogy is concerned. When you take a look at the magnitude of the universe, and someone said that there's a photograph that was sent back from Voyager as it continues its journey away from us, where it took a picture looking back, and they were able to find the planet Earth as this tiny little speck. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that little speck and then the magnitude of the universe that's in the vision of this photograph, and imagine that there's even more beyond the edges of the picture, of the frame, you're going, wow, we are really, in the grand scheme of things, we're nothing. We're less than, as I say, as far as my life is concerned, it's less than a puff of smoke as far as our time here on Earth. But the reality is that we don't even know the impact that we are having on a universal level as individuals, not collectively as a species, but as individuals.
I completely agree.
And
you've
seen the television programs, I'm sure, that have been on over the years, the last decade or so. There was one, it was wonderful. It was focused on this little boy. I think he was autistic, but he didn't speak to his father. I think his actor was Sutherland, who is now in another presidential TV series. Mm-hmm. Not Donald Sutherland, his son, but I can't think of his last mm-hmm. name. Anyway, but as the television program progresses, it shifts from one story to another, and they're all seemingly unrelated. But as the program progresses, you see how two or three of the stories begin to intersect or cross each other, and that mm-hmm. the impact that story one is now going to have on story two, and then story two impacts on, crosses the line of story three and has an impact. And now you begin to see how significant you really are.
Exactly. Exactly. The very first quote in my book, Truth to Triumph, is the dedication to my son. And my very first quote that I write in the book is, always remember how perfect and significant you are in the canvas of this universe.
Yeah.
And I couldn't mean that, you know, more sincerely. That's what it's all about. And it's interesting because what brings us sometimes a little further, you know, talking about or thinking about who we are, you know, what if there was no who? And what if we were all made up of constantly, you know, transitioning selves, all connected with each other? You know, what if the essence of our souls were made up of like a whole myriad of elements and not just one? You know, when it's interesting what you say, because when I was growing up in a Christian home, science was considered to be a conflict with man-made religion and theological belief systems. And what I noticed was that those that follow and teach doctrine, they seem to have fear in science and its influences on, you know, all of religious followers. I imagine maybe they feel science gives people the opportunity to question the existence of God. But in my view, I don't agree. I think it's quite the opposite. I find that the more we learn about science, the more we learn about our creator. You know, science is beginning to parallel with all the spiritual teachings that we've known forever. And so science explains things to us like time and space and different dimensions and energy field and quantum physics and all of that. You know, and it's systematic study, we know, is science. It's always a systematic study of like a structure or behavior of something physical, the natural world, all of that, always through an experiment. But if we can agree with the findings that science has made in the physical world, I'm going to ask you a question, and the listeners, why do we struggle with adopting what science says about the natural world? You know, so we believe in gravity, although we can't see it. We believe the Earth revolves, although we can't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
We believe science tells us this, and we believe it. So, but when when science has new discoveries that says we can heal through energy and we could heal through light and so on and so forth, things that we cannot see, why do we not believe that? You know, when science talks about intelligent design, why do religious people and leaders, why do they run the other way? Why do they say it's the devil? It's the fear of the unknown, a direct conflict on perhaps their belief systems, or maybe it's both. I don't know. This is just a question that I always ask people to explore, because I explored this, having been on both sides of the fence personally. And I concluded that most people who admit to believing in God, they see God as this energy in the sky, if you will, that's going to judge you. Then there's the people who are offended by that concept. So they just deny that there even is a God. So there's kind of two different thoughts or two different kind of people. But these are typically the people known as the atheists, right? Who they deny all any mystical labels like divine, creator, God. Anytime I talk to someone that's an atheist, they shake their head. No divine, no creator, no God. But if we look at it scientifically, where science explains how the natural world is all connected in one unified energy field, then it does give us a sense of oneness. Doesn't matter. Like I said, you know, a half hour ago, doesn't matter what the heck you call it, you know, but it's there. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't exclude your connection to it, which is really the dynamic thing about it. But it is our free will that separates us from it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're all piece of this spiritual core.
Absolutely.
That you were just saying.
Yeah. You know, even if I was to set aside the belief in a higher power, a divine creator, and as I said, even if I was to set it aside, there's something within me that says that my life has meaning. If that was not there, it wouldn't make any difference. I could go out right now, rape, pillage, and plunder. It wouldn't matter because my life has no meaning. But there's something inside me that says my life does have meaning, that it matters. Now, from an intellectual standpoint, I don't know where that's coming from any more than I know where the questions for this program are coming from, other than I say the universe.
It's coming from spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I want to share with you some lyrics from a song. It goes back 40 years. 1975, actually.
Great.
Follow your heart like a flying stallion. Race with the sun to the edge of the night. Form your truth like a golden medallion. Dance in the circle of love and the light. Love is everywhere. I see it. You are all that you can be. Go on and be it. Life is perfect. I believe it. Come and play the game with me. Now, I don't know.
I love that. Another interview, I was just talking with someone else. We were talking about how inspirational the musicians and writers were back in the 60s and in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Amazing how inspiring they were.
Yeah. Well, this is from my favorite artist. I started listening to him back in, I think I must have been 70 or 71. I was 10 or 11 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with the music of John Denver. And that is one of his songs.
Yeah.
It's called The Perfect Is You. There's another one that came out later. I'm still looking for that one. It goes even deeper. But the one thing that I have found so fascinating, as you say, about a lot of the lyrics from the songs of the 60s and 70s has to do with just that, the acknowledgement of who we are. I want to ask you about our evolution. Now, I asked this question of a guest. I said, well, where do you see our evolution taking us? And I kind of answered the question, and I got a different answer than I gave. Do you see us eventually acknowledging and understanding and reaching a point where we know who we really are? And he said, no. He says, we will reach a point in our lives as in our evolution where we will finally understand who we have always been.
Yes.
And that is, we've always been divine.
Yes. I completely agree.
Now, bringing that to the forefront in 2018, in the time in which we are communicating and speaking here in this conversation, that sometimes is easier said than done. But again, the anchor that you spoke of earlier is love.
Exactly. And it does circle us back to what we were talking about before, and us being responsible. You had asked, how can we be responsible, or shouldn't we be responsible for how we act out in the external world when we're hit with these situations? And again, that power and that is coming from love. Love is the healing antidote. So we want to embrace that. We want to embrace that that inner child or oneness with love. And then kind of transfer, release all the energetic debris that needs releasing to clean your house. So talk about responsibility. Yes, we are responsible to clean our own house, our internal house, no one else. So we need to restore the energy field around us and within us. So everything else will fall into place as these perfect pieces to a magnetic puzzle, which is, you know, that universal mystical magnetic puzzle. These energetic pieces are designed to work for you and with you. And you, I'd love for the listeners to understand that, you know, it's not working. Your very self, S, capital S, ELF, is designed to work for you, with you, not against you. Love is working for you and with you, and love is of you. So inside of you, it's inside of you, it's outside of you. These energies are quantum. And when you said earlier about when you looked at something on an intellectual level, it's funny, I get that. But let's understand this. I'd like to tell, tell all the listeners, try not to understand it as human intellect or logic, because quantum love cannot be challenged. Quantum love just is. It is.
I encourage you folks to go to her website, which is lilysanders.live, L-I-V-E. That's a new four-letter acronym. Used to just be 3.com, .gov, .org, etc. Now it's, we've got all kinds of them. In this case, lilysanders.live, and we encourage you to check out her latest work, Truth to Triumph, and of course, how she triumphed. It's a spiritual guide to finding your truth, and it is a riveting, raw, and inspirational must read. We encourage you to check it out. I also like another quote of yours. You spoke of the one to your son in the dedication. Mm-hmm. Here's one also. Love is the essence of all consciousness. Love is the stimulus for everything in life. It is the yeast that develops and gives rise to our daily bread. And
yes.
I want to tie that into, I have a difficult time not giving people the benefit of the doubt. No matter what they've done in my life, I have a best friend. He is still my best friend. We went through grade school, high school, and college. I watched him sign up for classes, full schedule, one semester. And then over the course of the next 2 weeks, I watched him drop one by one each of those classes. Mm-hmm. We actually took a trip to Kansas once. For a week, and I visited my aunt and uncle, my father's sister and husband, and he was my friend. My best friend was checking out a college out in Kansas. And when we got back, you know, we wanted to kind of balance the books financially, and it almost turned into something that could have split us up permanently. It almost became an issue. And I said, you know what? I'm going to call it even. If I'm sitting here saying you owe me and you're saying I owe you, how about we just call it even and just let it go? And it's never come up again. And we are still best friends. He is also the one who, in our, I think, late 20s, came out to me, to which I said to him, well, what do you want me to do with that information? You're still my best friend. That doesn't change a thing from my perspective. But I've had other people in my life who I've had in my life for a while. They aren't there now, probably. But I never wanted to set up this wall of, well, I'm going to get even with you because this is what you did to me kind of thing. I just, I've never, in my head and you know, in the moment, I've, you know, I might verbalize to someone, I'm kind of venting and kind of getting it out, but it never goes any further than that because I just don't want to waste the time or the energy, and it's so exhausting.
It is exhausting. It's exhausting because it's kind of still in that energy field in your mind.
Yeah.
So even if you're not acting out, it's something that I would, you know, I would suggest you do an, you know, a self-inquiry with yourself and actually clear that so that you don't have that, you know, those blockages of, it's almost, I guess if you were to categorize it, it's almost like in a category of judgment, except you don't act out on it.
Yeah.
And it, again, that stems from fear, and which is the opposite of love. You know, when I say, by the way, thank you for reading that quote. I love that that's one of your favorite quotes because it is the last quote of my book. And that kind of wraps up my entire book, Truth to Triumph. And, you know, love is the stimulus, you know, for everything in life. No doubt. It is the stimulus, you know, the impetus. It is, it's the core, the spur, if you will, your incentive, everything, all of that wrapped up in one. But it does. It's exactly the way yeast rises bread. This is what love does for us. And when we can clear the blockages of everything else that fear has instilled within us, then we can truly, truly live a life of love.
Yeah, it's the key to our existence. It really is. It's the key to our existence. It's
absolutely.
It's why it's how we most all of us got here.
Absolutely, we got here. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother topic that we can talk another time. But we even come into this world, you know, by an act of love.
Yeah, so exactly.
To speak. Exactly. But yeah, we are made up of love. We are of love from love.
Yeah, and that actually brings up another interesting side point, and that is that I find it fascinating how, you know, you referenced atheists. I've had some atheists on this program, and I found them to be very spiritual. Okay, even though they may not believe in a higher power or any kind of universal force and what have you. But in terms of bringing those two cells together, and then that starts to develop and create a whole new human being that comes into this world to contribute and to be a part of and to interact with the rest of us. You know, I have a hard time going back even to my comments about my life having meaning. I have a real hard time with even trying to wrap my brain around, oh, this was all an accident. I say, wow. You know, I couldn't toss anything up into the air and expect it to come down in the shape of some kind of thing that I wanted it to be. And then when you talk about, I mean, just quite simply, let's just say a tree. Draw me a tree. Well, every person's going to draw one differently. And literally, there are no two trees that are exactly alike. How is that even possible?
When you're looking at a tree in the present moment,
really
when you're in the present moment, if you forget about everything you've been taught about a tree, you'll see a tree in a different light.
Yeah.
Same thing as a bird, a rock. When you just toss everything that you've learned about what you're looking at and just experience it from a very, very acute state of awareness, you will start to see things that you've never noticed about that tree.
All right. And I'm going to take that one to the next level and say, and what if you did that with people?
Oh, exactly. And what if you did that with people? What if you saw all of us as you know, equal souls, if you will? You know, we need to be aware of our souls beneath the body. The body is a constant flow of energy, and hopefully, you know, a flowing energy. And that flow is the flow of love through your body. Now, I always, I like to suggest to people to experience their body as a process and not a structure, and embrace the miracle of your body. And with that, you'll begin to see your connection to other people who are part of the same process of oneness.
Yeah. You know, I find it interesting. I don't know where these thoughts come from per se, but they come and I must then express them. Mm-hmm. I did one program about 8 years ago and we were conversing and this question came to mind and I'm going, no, I'm not going to ask that question. Go away, go away. And it kept coming and kept coming. And finally I said, look, we're doing a live show, by the way. We were then. And I have to ask this question. It won't go away. I really don't want to ask it intellectually, but it won't. It just keeps bugging me. So, boom, I threw the question out there. And I got to thinking about, for example, you talk about this whole aspect of seeing things from a different perspective. When we injure ourselves, let's just say, for example, a small cut on our mm-hmm. hand, on the back of our hand, we treat it. All right, we care for it, and eventually the cells regenerate, and most cases, you don't even notice that there was ever an injury there. It's like, did I cut my hand? I thought I did that about a month ago. It's not there anymore.
Exactly.
And
that's,
I thought,
that's the awareness of that constant flow of your body.
Okay, now I'm going to take that to a new level. The skin cells regenerated to where there's no evidence that there was ever an injury. And yet we have other parts of our anatomy. And in my case, for example, my left eye, I lost all of the vision in it in the last 7 years mm-hmm. due to glaucoma. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, no, wait a minute. Why aren't the cells regenerating to return that eye to the state at which it was able to see?
Great question. We have to have another discussion on here. there you go. In fact, on lilysanders.live/healing, you can go to my healing page. Is that disabled eye due to glaucoma?
Yes.
Or is that what the world, the physical world and doctors tell you?
Oh.
Or is it really due to the emotional energies that are... that are in your body,
well,
that are producing. See, all our emotional body, it's all the space within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have blockages, we have years and years and years of blockages that are layered. And those energies are what needs to be cleared. And that all of those energies come from your emotions, and we get disease and illness and sickness. And these things need to be cleared and can be healed by energy. And it's simple and it doesn't cost anything.
That is the amazing thing about it. It doesn't cost anything.
Exactly.
And of course, that it is simple. And we do try to make it complicated. Well, it can't be that simple. It's got to be, I've got to go through 15 steps, and then I got to jump through this hoop and under that bridge. And it's got to, you know, because otherwise it's not, there's no value in it.
Well, I'll tell you what's simple, Richard. What's simple is going into surgery. What's simple is taking a pill. What's simple is having a vaccination. What is... that's what the world says.
Yeah.
But really, when you do the work, I don't think you know this, but I'm also a Reiki master.
As am I.
And so, I'm a Reiki master.
Yes.
So I've had some really amazing discoveries in my own life with using energy as healing. And I can tell you first and foremost from my own experience that, this stuff is really dope. I mean, it really works.
Yes.
So, look, for some people, it could mean just a few sessions of Reiki sessions, a few sessions. that you don't have to be, you don't even have to go to a doctor. Energy travels in time and space. Reiki, I do Reiki, distance Reiki, all of the time. And it is, it warms my heart to know that it actually helps people. And that is one of the things that I always, the first thing I do to prep them is what I was telling you before, to, you know, be aware of the constant flow of your body today. Experience that body as a process, not a structure. And just embrace the miracle of your body. And all of this healing and the energy that goes to the root of the pain, which is really emotional pain, your body begins to heal. Just like you see the skin physically. You can actually begin to feel every single molecule healing physically within you. And again, it goes back to what we can see, what we can't see, right? But once you understand that process and you see your body as a process, even our DNA changes every 6 weeks, would you believe? So this body wants to work for us. Yeah. It absolutely does.
Well, my wife and I received our Reiki Master training back about 17, 18 years ago in Phoenix.
Well, oh, wonderful.
And we actually, a story, a very brief one. My father's brother was dying of cancer. And the thing that I love about Reiki is that you send the energy, but it's not your responsibility how the individual recipient chooses to use it or not, for that matter. And so my parents gave us a photograph. So we sent him a distance. Reiki treatment, if you will. And about a week to 10 days later, we got the story back after he had passed, that over the course of the next few days, he had the strength to get really angry and throw his medication across the room. Hopped into his wheelchair and rolled across the yard to the house that his son was living in. And they had, I guess, a moment or a time of closure. And then I guess it was about a day after that he passed. Whereas before then he was just stuck in his bed. So he had that boost of energy to do these things, to bring closure to a relationship and so forth before he left. It's quite a remarkable thing. And I keep thinking about that in terms also of the things that we eat. I say this quite often. I know the difference, but still the question persists. If everything is energy, then what difference does it make what we put into our bodies? You know, that kind of thing. Because it's all energy.
Right. Well, we're putting energy into our bodies.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, look, again, it goes back to our very first topic is loving yourself. Love, honor, respect. And you have to love yourself. You want to treat your body. Look, if you love yourself, you want to feed yourself the things that are full of good nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for taking this hour to share with us about all of these different aspects of who and what you are, as well as Truth to Triumph here on Tell Me Your Story. And of course, it's a spiritual guide for finding your truth. LilySanders.live is the website. We encourage you to go there and just dive in and see what you find and see what works for you. Pick up a copy of Truth to Triumph as well. Two things, Lily, that I want to share with you. Number one, should you ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Fabulous. I would love that.
And number two, I would like to ask you three final questions before we let you go. And again, my great gratitude and thanks to you for what you've shared with us today on the program. First question is, who is Lily Sanders?
That's a great question because I'm not all about, I'm not about labels. I just feel that I am who I am, I know what I am here to do. If I were to put a label on it, other than I am, you know, who I am, I'm the embodiment of love. I represent love. And I do that by sharing it with my speaking and my coaching and in my writing.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Great question. I know what I'd like to achieve, and I know what my intent is. My intent of Truth to Triumph, writing that book, and what I teach and speak and coach, is to bring people out of pain and into peace. I'm all about spreading peace, but actually giving people the tools that they need to transform their pain or transfer the energies of pain into peace. And peace is love.
And what is your life's purpose?
This, what I'm doing, I know what I'm here to do. My purpose is to be speaking in large forums around the globe. Not just physically around the globe in large forums, but also every which way that the modern technology offers. So in front of the camera, television, radio, as we're doing now, definitely in large forums around the globe, though. I'd like the energy of physical energy as well, where I can kind of hear and touch and feel people in an audience. I love that energy. And ultimately, I would also love to produce entertainment that promotes and inspires positive spiritual change and social change.
Once again, Lily Sanders, thank you so much for joining us on the program, and we do look forward to having you back again soon to continue this conversation, whether it be here in Santa Barbara or via Skype, as we've done today. And again, our great thanks to you for the time you've given us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll see you either over there or back here on Skype, wherever it is. And just listeners, Amazon.com, Truth to Triumph, Spiritual Guide to Finding Your Truth. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Richard.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.